Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Got to bring in Louisville Metro Councilman Anthony Piacentini. He represents District 19. Welcome back to you, sir.
Thank you very much, Terry. How are you?
Yeah, it's great to have you back on again. I'm going to brag on you a little bit. Thank you for your service as a sergeant in the United States Marine Corps during Operation Iraqi Freedom about 13, 14 years ago. We appreciate you. Thank you for your dedication to the country.
Appreciate you saying that. Thank you.
I saw you tweet this morning, and I contacted you and thought, well, we need to talk about this further on the radio. I know there's all kinds of things we have to keep our minds on here in this city and any city in America. But in 2020, the homicide rates have been crazily rising in many cities across America, but Louisville's numbers are really paralyzing. You write, we've closed only 33% of our homicides up, which are up 76%, shootings up 104%, 82% of shooting victims are black, 50% are under the age of 24, and you're just saying we got to focus on violent crime. So what do we do? Where do we move so that we're more fixated on this issue instead of just singular issues that seem to generate all the news coverage?
Yeah. Thanks for saying that. And there in lieth the issue, right? I spoke to Christopher Tuax recently, and we're talking about what I think the most primary things we need to do is give a voice to these victims, right? And so that people understand that these aren't just numbers, right? These numbers that they're drastic, they're unbelievable. Behind each one of these numbers, each one of the shooting victims, hundreds of them. There are victims whose lives have been permanently changed. And, you know, look, that's not to say we need to walk and chew gum at the same time here, right? That's not to say I've been very vocal about where I think the administration has failed in properly managing LMPD that has resulted in some problems. The tragedy of Breonna Taylor's death, there could have been things we could do differently to prevent that from happening in the future. But we're facing 132 homicides already this year, just this year, that, you know, I just don't see enough people talking about. There are some. I've talked to Chris Tuax. He's focused on it. The U.S. attorney, Russell Coleman, he's doing yeoman's work. LMPD is focusing on it, right? But I need the administration. I need policymakers like myself. We need to be all working. The community organizations and leaders need to be taking this much more seriously, need to be talking about it all the time until we get solutions that make sense.
Amy Hess is going to join me tomorrow, the chief of public safety here in Louisville. She's going to be on the same time slot tomorrow, and we have much to discuss. But this issue for parents, all of us who have children, you and I are both dads. It's numbing to think about a 17-year-old. We find a dead 17-year-old on a corner in the morning. And like you just said, that just spirals into so much pain and agony for people that are all connected to them over and over and over, hundreds of times every year. And people will say, well, it's about poverty. You got to change the poverty. Well, we've been doing that since my whole lifetime. I mean, the great society in the 1960s, there's been $22 trillion-plus dollars spent on trying to pull poverty. So it's more than that. It has to be more than adjusting that, because we didn't have mass murder numbers or murder numbers like we have now through all these last several decades. So what is happening?
Well, yeah, and keeping in mind, there have been... I reject that poverty is the only thing. Of course, poverty doesn't help. I want everybody to get out of poverty. But the truth of the matter is there have been times in American history and demographics within American history, just American history, forget the world, who have experienced poverty, oppression, and other circumstances and not resorted to violence. So that is not true. During the Great Depression, we did not see a corresponding escalation in violence when, you know, literally you had soup, you had the food lines and people truly dying of starvation and such, because we didn't have the social safety net programs that we have today. So first of all, we need to stop oversimplifying the problem. It's not just poverty. It is cultural. It has to do with several factors related to what we have now accepted as normal, right, as a society. And, you know, so that's why I say it's not easy. I'm not here to oversimplify it. I'm not here to say, well, we need to crack down and the police need to do more. Yes, that is part of it. But we also need faith leaders. We're going to also need policymakers. We are going to need business leaders, and we all need to be focused on this issue and each of us doing our role, because it's not just poverty. That's only one element of it. The cultural issues, the lack of the acceptance of certain behavior, you know, and people are familiar with broken windows theory, right? You start accepting and start allowing certain behaviors. They escalate, they snowball. I would argue that's what we've seen in some of the problems that within the city related to related to some of the scandals that have come up. They were smaller problems that weren't checked, and they snowballed into massive issues. And look, I'm not going to deny that COVID has something to do with this and the isolation that we're experiencing, but that's why I'm saying we need to all be tackling this. And the fact that, you know, we get a daily briefing from the mayor, the governor, and everybody else on COVID, right? When was the last time we had the mayor, the governor, and everybody else talking about the homicide rate here?
Yeah, right, exactly. And also the numbing fact of some of these children. DeQuante Hobbs, of course, a guy was arrested and charged in that. He's the kid who's sitting at his kitchen table having cake. Trinity Randolph playing in her, she's 3 years old, assassinated.
She was playing with her frozen, playing with her like dollhouse. Frozen dollhouse. Yeah, she was assassinated. She was just absolutely assassinated. Yep.
But, I mean, we've had poverty over the years, and then people listening to us are saying, it's the guns! It's about the guns! So what do we do? How do we teach our culture that blasting three-year-olds does not prove a point? I mean, it's just so deranged. Usually a community would be talking about that for months, if not years, and we've already forgotten Trinity Randolph.
That's right. That's right. She will, I mean, look, every one of these stories is tragic. Heck, I'll even tell you, on the homicide, we get the full list of all the victims of the homicide rate. She isn't even the youngest. There is a victim that's first name is unborn because a pregnant woman was killed, and we listed her unborn child as a homicide victim, so the first name was unborn, right? Absolutely, unbelievably tragic circumstances. And there's two primary things, right? Number one, we need to track down and put behind bars the people that would do these things, right? We need a renewed focus, and I think Russell Coleman, he uses this term rightly, the trigger pullers, right? The people who are so depraved that they would think, and in that particular case, the criminal walked into the house, murdered her father. Okay, and if that wasn't bad enough because of, you know, business deal going wrong or you know, whatever activity, whatever that was, walked into the other room and then shot and killed Trinity. Could have just walked out after killing the father, right? But so bankrupt of any level of morality, right? That is pure evil. So those folks need to be put behind bars, period, full stop. And there's where we need the community to help, right? We need a renewed engagement with the community. The community needs to come forward. I'm looking at working, for example, on new rewards programs, right? Any incentive, anything to break down barriers for people to help law enforcement put those depraved individuals behind bars. And then for the rest of society, right, working on victims, right, making sure that victims, particularly young victims, don't then resort to that activity, right? Don't then see that as normalized because they've been exposed to it. So we need to address particularly young victims in their teens, adolescent years, and put you know, as a community, a support program around that, so they recognize that is not normal, and I am the victim too, and I need to look at more productive ways to live my life.
Last thing for you, Councilman Anthony Piacentini. We have Yvette Gentry in. She's a revered police officer, now chief, but it's only temporary for LMPD. Is the mayor going to let Yvette run the police department, or does, because she understands policing and with her career, we know what the problems have been with the prior chief and interim chiefs and so forth. Do you feel like that he's going to let her run the police department properly?
I think the better way to put it is she's going to run the police department the way she feels like is the best way. So far, I'm meeting her tomorrow for the first time face-to-face, person-to-person, and to get to know her better. But my take on her and everything I've seen is that it's not so much, you know, is she waiting for the mayor to give her the authority? My take on her, and I hope she hears me on this, is that she does what is right. Right. I think she has a great sense in everything I've seen and heard and in the few meetings I've been in with her of the balance between great policing and how that balance needs to be taken through the community. Right. And community engagement, involvement, and balancing public safety with the community needs and all. She needs to execute and needs to know that if she continues that thought process, she will have our full support. And I don't want to say, look, she reports to the mayor. He was elected. I don't want to say to heck with whatever he says. But at the end of the day, if she's conflicted, and you know, the answer should be go with what's right. Forget about who's the boss, right? It's time for people to have some courage in these positions to do what's right and maybe ignore for a while what is politically expedient.
Cops love her, and they'll follow her into anything she asks, so... Know that about her before you meet her. Great. I appreciate the time, Anthony. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Terry. Appreciate it.
Louisville Metro Councilman Anthony Piacentini.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.